keep all kids together and, you know, make it less disruptive on that end. But thank you. I'll let somebody else ask questions at this point. But this is it is extremely concerning that we're talking about lots of work and, you know, our staff, our executive council, everyone, and that we still do not have more clear direction from this point and more clear financial expectations from this point. So thank you for everyone who's been working on these. I very much respect the work that is out in front of us trustees right now, but I'm extremely just concerned. I wish you had more, even more to work with, frankly. But that's it for me right now. Thank you.
Thank you, Trustee Miller. Do we still have Trustee Mulholland on the line? No. So we'll move along to
Maria Felix Miller.
Trustee Pagan Miller?
Yeah, hi. Okay, so I respect and understand why Maria is feeling so overwhelmed, because what's happening here from my perspective is that we're looking at a huge mountain in front of us instead of realizing that you have to start walking up the mountain and handling everything a little bit at a time. So I think we need to hold off all our anxieties. I mean, this is my advice, and just let's see what happens as we move towards all these things. I think the staff is doing a wonderful job of giving us as much preparation as we can possibly have, and I think that's a good thing. So I'd like to feel positive about what's good and take it a day at a time, working through this as we go. Now, I know that's hard to do because, obviously, we've got all this in front of us, and school is, 6 weeks away? So people are panicking, and we're all panicking. But my thought on it all is, why are we waiting until we get direction from the province with respect to masks? My understanding is that Hamilton has already made it mandatory to wear masks in public places, and certainly the public school board system is a public place. So why can't we just recognize that we're going to have to wear masks? I'm sure a lot of us have received this letter that I received, in which the last paragraph spelled it out quite clearly. We urge the Hamilton Wentworth District School Board to include mandatory masks or face coverings as part of any comprehensive infection prevention and control strategy for the safe reopening of schools. Without them, we're putting students, teachers, staff, and their families at a higher risk of COVID-19 infection and transmission. So, I mean, I think we can make the leap that we should provide masks. We should have masks for all people that are going to be involved in this, going into the schools and reopening the schools, teachers, students, everybody. So that's my comment. I don't know whether somebody wants to respond to my idea or not.
Sorry, so Carol or Trustee Pagan Miller, I can turn to our director on this in terms of why we would be waiting, and also what we know about masks so far, and the mask bylaw here in Hamilton. So turning to the director.
So thank you, and the chair. What I heard Trustee Carol Pickenmiller say, and is what we've been doing as a team, is the phased approach. When we look at everything we have to do, we are phasing it in with the leadership of the exec council. So you can see from 2 weeks ago to now, things that have moved along, and you hear comments the trustees have made today as well as school council fundraisers, other items that we know are important, but they're further down the list in terms of prioritizing. In terms of what you've, I'll be clear again, in terms of masks, the ministry guidelines in June had said medical grade masks for staff who cannot physically distance. However, what you're seeing is, as Trustee Carol Piccinoli said, there's regional municipal bylaws surfacing, and we as a board staff have decided that we better be prepared and have medical grade masks for all staff. That's for permanent staff and for occasional staff who will be coming in with that PPE. So that we will be providing, and hence the cost that Stacy has shared to date. Two things the ministry are going to be providing as consistency in approach. One, you heard, is around the outbreak management. Although we're working with public health on our protocols, the ministry has said clearly they need to provide that clarity, working with the COVID command table and the chief medical officer for the province. In addition, we have asked for clarity on masking for students. And there's research out there, and there's conflicting research, but we have asked for that clarity. And we said we are in the 11th hour because boards need to be prepared to purchase them from the province or from their own local supplier. And we need to have clarity on the type of mask and when, at what stage of development we will require students to wear them, and when there will be some exceptions for students who might not be able to wear the mask. We believe that clarity is coming, and directors and chairs in code has asked for that clarity, and hence we believe that there will be some funding being provided to support that extra PPE requirement. But to reiterate what Trustee Carol Pakenor has said, at this point, even though the ministry has not indicated medical-grade masks for all staff, we have made, as a staff, that decision here in Hamilton, because we believe that's an important piece to provide to all of our employees, and that's also been in partnership with our local union partners. So, and I'll reiterate again, the phased approach is going to be key, and staff is staying optimistic. It is, we know it's challenging, but we're excited about welcoming our kids back to school. We know there's ripple effects in every situation we look at, but by having these conversations with trustees, by getting input from our stakeholders, our local union partners, and our public health, and people who are going to support us, like McMaster Children's Hospital and Hamilton Health Science, provide some guidance, we know we're going to, with a phased approach, we are going to get through this together. And so those are sort of my comments in response to Trustee Pakenor Miller's comments. So thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Manny. Okay. All right. No, that's it.
Thank you. Moving along through the list to Trustee Tutt.
Hi. Thank you, Madam Chair. Through you, I just got a couple of quick questions here, seeking clarity.
Carol Pakenor-Miller.
No.
First question. We lost Carol.
Continue.
The first question has to do with, I'm just scrolling here on the agenda, with regards to the physical adaptations. Let's go there, to the physical adaptations. So one of the things is I noticed in the last paragraph that there's some discussions around, or there's been a mention with regards to signage, and there'll be structures put into place and temporary barriers and markings. I'm hoping that staff will give some consideration that in the fall, given the weather patterns and possible chance of snow, that is taken into consideration with regards to the markings, and some of that stuff may not be all too visible or just covered up. And so we have parents and folks that may inadvertently maybe violate some of our policies and or signage as a result of that. So I wonder if that's been taken into consideration in our current plan.
Thank you. I'll turn to Associate Director Sovereign.
Thank you, through the chair. Thank you for the question and the reminder, Trustee Tutt. So certainly all the weather conditions that we endure will be taken into consideration when it comes to signage, both in playgrounds and in fields. It serves as a really good reminder that I think, as I said, probably about 2 hours ago now, much like your students, we are going to first proceed with awareness, education, and then, if those who are being asked and directed aren't following the processes, then we would take additional steps. But it's a great reminder in terms of, sometimes we would put out markings outside and, they could inadvertently get covered up or the weather could take them away. Thank you.
Trustee?
Thank you, Associate Director Sovereign, for that. I appreciate that answer. The other question that I have is with regards to parents' access to the actual school site. And I know there's going to be some restriction with regards to that, but I do know if you have younger children, there's a tendency that certain items are left at school, medication can be forgotten, articles of clothing, even educational material. So I'm, asking the parent to wait at the door or trying to call the front office, I don't know if you've tried calling any of our front offices, but it's sometimes atrocious trying to get a response or even a call back. And so I'm hoping that we can take a look at that plan and possibly build in some mechanism or some way for parents to access those items that may get left behind, and particularly with regards to medication and whatnot, which can be serious in some cases.
Thank you, Superintendent or Executive Super Associate Director Sovereign. Please.
Thank you, and through the chair, and thank you for the question and the comment, Trustee Tutt. Again, we would certainly continue to proceed with, that guiding principle of safety for all. While at the same time, if that means an adjustment in terms of how we provide the service levels, for instance, in terms of answering at the front door, we will certainly look at that at a school level. With all of this, I think we've said right from the beginning, certainly during the closure, and now as we enter into this next phase, patience from everyone, with each other, with staff, with families, is going to be really critical, because these are going to be difficult and trying times as we move into a period that none of us have experienced before. The point is very well taken, and we will certainly take it away and work with our committees who are looking at how do we maintain the safety and follow advice from public health, while at the same time acknowledging that there certainly are times, really important times, when parents and others will need to get in contact rather quickly with the school and access the school as well.
Trustee? I think you're on mute, Trustee Tutt.
Thank you.
I'm
here. Sorry about that. I appreciate that answer. Thank you, Associate Director Sovereign. I just echo that the need for, a clear plan with regards to that is key. I hate to have folks trying to navigate the gray area and trying to interpret policy or direction on their own in those type of scenarios, but I appreciate you taking that back.
through you, Madam Chair, my other question is, with regards to the screening survey, I'm wondering that there should be some consideration. I'm hoping that we have, Hamilton Wentworth School Board is increasingly diverse. It serves a diverse population. We have students from all types of backgrounds, and I'm hoping that some thought has been given to translating that survey into folks' mother tongues. In some scenarios, the parents might be at work and they have their grandparents or extended family members that are doing drop-offs and pick-ups and whatnot, and they might be the actual first point of contact that may receive that type of information or that letter or whatever mode that survey that we may use. But I honestly think that having it translated in a couple of languages would be helpful for our student population.
Excellent question. Associate Director Sovereign, if you can comment on how all of our work, what equity and inclusion or accessibility and inclusion lenses are being applied.
Thank you, and through the chair, so I will point out that in the reports, we do indicate in various places where very critical information, such as the screening tool, will be translated into our 10 most common languages spoken within the HWDSB communities. As I've indicated as well in other sections of the report, that accessibility to this information for students and families is really critical. So not making any assumptions around, whether it's level of print or the languages or the modality that it be just on a website versus other ways. So, again, point well taken, and that we continue to ensure that we are reaching all members of the HWDSB community with this important information.
Trustee Tuck.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Associate Director Sovereign, for that. My last question is kind of twofold. So, I know that there's been a lot of discussion tonight with regards to PPE, and particularly with masks and shields and whatnot. And so, going back to the PPE point with regards to, I read in the actual memo that staff was going to be being limited to about two PPE and whatnot. I'm just wondering if thought has been given to the fact that that may not be enough in certain scenarios, and I'm hoping that's not a hard cap for each employee of the Hamilton Wentworth District School Board. I think there's going to be some scenarios that where they may go well beyond two, and we need to be able to support those staff members with access to PPE so we can have a further safe environment.
Associate Director Sovereign.
Thank you, and through the chair. So we will continue to monitor the number of supplies that we require, including all PPE supplies, and ensure that we do have an adequate amount in a go-forward basis. The numbers that we've shared in the report are really just for the readiness of the first 2 months and in anticipation of what that may look like, but we are going to continue to monitor and ensure that we have adequate supplies, and also depending on the direction that we will receive further from the Ministry of Education around what will be required in terms of masks or face coverings by staff and our students. As the Associate Director Zucker has indicated before, we'll ensure that we procure those amounts.
Trustee?
Yes, thank you. Thank you for that. Last kind of statement, comment through you, Madam Chair, is essentially So to go back to what I was saying, there's been a lot of conversation around PPE, and I just want to lend my voice in support to the fact that I do believe that the safest thing that we could do is provide masks for our students. I think it needs to be mandatory. Anything short of that, I honestly think would be negligent or really willfully blind to the fact that this thing is incredibly dangerous. And it doesn't matter how old you are, you know, what your background is, it can do some serious harm to you. And I think this minister needs to step up to the plate. The ministry needs to step up to the plate, and I'm hoping and I'm somewhat encouraged that maybe we'll have that update, as some of you folks have mentioned tonight. But I think that if we're having to wear masks on the local level in close confined spaces and in stores and whatnot, and if we can see the minister up on the podium wearing a mask, and it's safe for him to do so, I think it's safe for our students and our staff to do so as well. And I think it would be particularly important given the fact that we're going to be in the fall and we're seeing some of these other countries going through a second wave with regards to that. So I just wanted to lend my voice in support to some of the other statements made by trustees. And I really think that we need to get on that track and get masks. I understand that we might be waiting for that update, but short of that, I think a plan needs to be put into place, and we really need to look at implementing that if possible. Thank you.
Thank you. So with that, because we're at 10 o'clock, or we're almost, I guess we're 10 to 10. At 10 o'clock, I'll stop and get a motion to extend. So I am next on the speakers list, and I'm just going to start by stating that folks do look through the financials on the last page in the appendix there. You will see it is what we're looking at the, I guess, the basic level there is just over 10,000 a day if you divide it by the 194 school days that we have during the year. And it's a significant chunk of change, and that's where we absolutely, board should not have to pay through for this out of our own budget. We shouldn't have to. What I'm concerned about is that where other boards, like Toronto, for example, is putting it into, they are going into deficits, and they're allowed to carry a deficit so long as it's less than 1% of their overall budget. That means they have to find that money in next year's budget. And I just, you know, the money that we have, I agree, you know, money set aside for rainy days, but those rainy days are when you have a school roof leak, when you have a boiler go, when you have other things that are not a global pandemic. And that's where we absolutely do need more funding. And really, it's the financial commitment that that safety is the number one priority. And I sincerely hope that we have a significant commitment from the minister later this week or next. I will be truly disappointed if it's something, a minimal announcement. So I just wanted to say that. With regards to my questions, so I will kind of pop through some of these. So with regards to Section 1, Enhanced Public Health, and talking about, I guess, disposal of masks, I want to express, I guess, just flag that we will likely see discarded PPE, discarded, you know, whether it's masks or hand sanitization bottles littered throughout the playground or the school hallways, and that's going to be an additional item that needs to be cleaned. So it's not so much a comment as a, or it's not so much a question as a comment. I will note that, because I did read the Sick Kids report, and one of their comments around students, especially very young students wearing masks, like your kindergarten, grade one, is that they have a tendency to need help to put their masks on appropriately, and then there's increased touching to the face. So that, I know that we'll be waiting for guidance, but I kind of wanted to flag that as well as an area that we should be considering, especially for training for our primary staff who will be interacting with the little kids. With regards to, I didn't quite see this in the report, but I know that we've had discussions previously for cohorting and that we would send students outdoors or we'd be encouraging more outdoor activities. And I'm hoping in future reports to see more comment on that, just with regards to a, rather than just, you know, encouraging, say, staff at the beginning of the year, that it's I guess a more proactive reminder to get outside, and kind of wondering if there would be any additional equipment that would need to be purchased in order to support that, such as those shade umbrellas or just other equipment. So I will, I'm going to pause there, and I'll go to the Associate Director Sovereign. Any kind of comments back in terms of additional cleaning, masks with the younger kids, and I guess any additional equipment for outside?
Thank you, and through you, Madam Chair. I'll begin with the cleaning, and we do highlight in the report that there will be additional cleaning required throughout the day, and that our caretaking staff will be, you know, redeployed accordingly to provide that additional cleaning, which is one of the reasons why, you know, the community use of schools is going to be suspended. So without question, we do fully anticipate that additional cleaning above and beyond the additional touch surfaces. So examples like one that you provided will without question occur. In terms of masking, you know, certainly as you've referenced the report from SickKids, I know that the director, and I'll pass it over to him in a moment, has had conversations with Hamilton Health Sciences and the Children's Hospital as well regarding this. I will just comment around the outdoor learning spaces. We will continue. We haven't included it in this report because we included it in the previous one, but we are certainly looking at providing as many opportunities as possible, weather permitting, even with additional resources like coverings and that, to be able to have that learning environment outdoors. So with that, maybe I'll pass it back over to the director for any comments around that.
So thank you, through the chair. Peter's correct. Last week I had a meeting with a group of 6 to 7 people from Hamilton Health Sciences at McMaster Children's Hospital. They were curious to learn, you know, about the board report that we had shared on the 13th. And the epidemiologists have been sharing, you know, their concerns around, you know, the impact of COVID-19. But also around the mental health challenges that they're seeing around school closures. And there's a big debate, as we know, around the harm caused to children socially, emotionally, and academically as schools remain closed for a long period of time. And I know their position by the Mass Children's Hospital, and I know our minister was meeting with the kids again today, to discuss their position of wanting boards to open up full conventional service with appropriate PPEs because they think that, you know, that there's greater harm. Their position is to take the virus seriously, but also that to learn to, that we're going to have to learn to live with COVID-19 and put the right mitigations in place, because we don't know how long this will continue. But from a Massachusetts Children's Hospital perspective, we're seeing the long-term harm and implications to our youth if schools are not deemed an essential service and open up with conventional models. When they talked about masks, they did talk about what the chair mentioned around that there is value in masks and they're seeing the value in masks, but also looking at the age appropriateness and the level of the child development in terms of masks. What they did reiterate is that the training that will be required and any way they can support us, and I've connected them with Superintendent Stefanian and our public health folks. Dr. Elizabeth Richardson knew that they were reaching out to both boards and to welcome to sit at one of our tables to help us. So we have that support there, and their offer of support was not just the short term, but the long term, because we know we're going to be in this journey together, and how they can support us with messaging and training around all PPEs, including masking, and also education and training of our parents and our staff as we go through this together. So that's my update of the meeting I had with them last week.
Thank you. I'm just going to get a motion to extend. I'll have that put forward by Paul Tutt and seconded by Christine Bingham. Anyone voting against? Hearing none. The motion to extend will be for 30 minutes for the 10:30. So hearing no votes against, the motion passes and we'll continue. Item two, thank you for your comments, and I appreciate all the consideration that's going into how, although we don't have clear guidance from the ministry yet, I appreciate all of the work that our team is doing to ensure that we are prepared for every scenario, including these conversations with our local Sick Kids Hospital to ensure that we are going to be prepared and that our staff are going to be trained so that we can protect our safety of our staff and our students. So I sincerely appreciate all of that work that is being done. With regards to item two, mental health, I know, are we going to do more, say, kind of proactive screening around substance use? I know that during this time, and the Sick Kids report mentions that as well, that there is a very strong likelihood of neglect, increased cases of neglect, increased cases of abuse, but also increased cases of youth using substances, whether drugs or alcohol. And I would certainly, what we know about that kind of use is that when it starts young, there's more of a prevalence for whether it's mental health to become, I guess, more deeply formed, or for drug and alcohol addiction to become, I guess, those patterns and coping skills to become more deeply formed. Is that something that we will be looking for beyond what our, I guess, regular expectations are? Associate Director.
Thank you very much for the question, and through you, Madam Chair. I will say that, you know, in the report we do talk about sort of the comprehensive approach that we are taking to student mental health and well-being, both broadly speaking, so that we ensure that everyone is involved, but then there are multiple other layers should it be required. And so whether or not, you know, the issues might be ones of substance abuse or addictions or other aspects of mental health and well-being, I would, certainly point to the fact that we do have plans and a layered approach to addressing each and every one of these needs should they come up.
Thank you. And I look forward to, I guess, more details coming out, I guess, in the coming months, but then also when our monitoring reports are coming forward, just so that we're keeping an eye on all of this, because there is so much. Under support for staff, so I have some questions with regards to and some of this discussion might be for further down the road, or for I guess HR or for an in-camera, but I guess it's more asking high level at this point. It's not asking for specific numbers, but very, very high level. Are we looking into things like will we have sufficient coverage for supply? So are we looking at things like broadening our supply pool? Are we looking at things like identifying if there's increased early retirements, identifying, I know that Jamie spoke to it a little bit earlier around providing supports for staff who would need additional accommodations. but I just want to make sure that we are looking at, I guess, the labor end, and I'll turn to Superintendent Nunn on that.
And through the chair, we currently right now are hiring for a number of positions, occasional positions within the board. We've recently completed interviews and are ready to begin the onboarding process for occasional elementary teachers, educational assistants. In the next 2 weeks, we'll be completing our interviews for secondary occasional teachers, child and youth care practitioners, and 2-3-4 weeks out casual caretakers. We want to ensure that we have a really healthy occasional pool who is available to support us for the return to school like we have over the last couple of years. So we are currently working through our hiring plan, and we'll bring forward to the HR committee in September an update in terms of the hiring that we've done this September, for September.
Okay. So we're confident that we are looking at what our needs are for September, and we're feeling that we have a good pulse, I guess, on what the lay of the land is going to look like with regards to our staff supplies.
So through the chair, if I could also ask Jamie to add, in terms of the data analysis HR has done by work group, in terms of who potentially, you know, is at retirement age and what that percentage looks like based on our pool. So I know that analysis has been done.
Thank you. And through the chair, so we do believe, based on the hiring that we're doing this summer, that we will have healthy occasional pools again for the new school year. As part of that, we've done a review of all of our employees who are currently at the point of being able to retire. And so we've broken that data down by group. So we have a sense of, and for example, we are hiring, if we were to say with our permanent elementary teachers, we currently have, you know, 100 teachers, for example, who could retire. We have extended offers of employment in the last week alone of more than 100 potential occasional elementary teachers. So we've been very careful in taking a look at our needs, what our perceived needs could be, should teachers or employees in general choose to retire early or respectfully retire within their time that they're able to. So we are confident in our hiring plan for the fall.
Thank you. And I don't need a response on this, but just to kind of reiterate, Penny during the last meeting had, had asked a very important question around mental health supports for our staff. And I just want to take this moment to reinforce that for this coming school year, I truly believe that we really need to be promoting and pushing the supports that we have available across the system, because it's just been such a difficult year. So I will, that's a comment. And I know that it was addressed at the last meeting, but I just wanted to reinforce that. I think so many of the questions were already asked by other trustees. I really appreciated Trustee Danko's question around public transportation, because I also had questions around that. I appreciated the questions around technology, as well as I guess there were just a number of them. I will close by just stating that one item that I did want to mention or to flag is that we should make a point of monitoring the needs of our speech therapist. I need one at this time of night. I read somewhere that one of the fallouts from all the mask coverings is that students are experiencing some delays in their speech development, and so that might be one of the areas that needs to get picked up. The other area, and this is more as we're moving into the new year, but is the tracking with regards to the student learning and achievement gap and how we are going to be supporting closing that gap in the fall. The one item that I just wanted to land on was to again thank staff and to especially thank both of our associate directors, to Peter for all the planning, program planning that has taken place on his end, it's so detailed, and on the other end to Stacy for taking those details and quantifying them and putting them into financial amounts. When I've asked questions over the last couple of weeks, I have felt reassured knowing how much supplies we have already purchased, because we were concerned about ensuring that our orders were in on time, so that we were fully ready to open on day one for any given situation with an overabundance of supplies, and that helps to reassure me, and I certainly appreciate all the details that we've had tonight and other nights, and I look forward to more details that are to come. With that, I was looking for a motion earlier, which is to have monthly monitoring reports starting in the fall, and I would hope that staff would bring forward, I guess, a recommendation of what would be included in the monitoring report in one of our August meetings, so that trustees could review it and determine if all the items that they were hoping to see there were on the list. And I heard Trustee Galindo indicate that he would be interested in making that motion. I'm wondering if Trustee Danko would be interested in seconding that motion. Trustee Danko?
Absolutely.
Seems up your alley. So with that, on that motion, I'm not going to go through a full speakers list on it, but I'm just going to go straight to, is there any trustees who are dissenting?
Sorry, Alex, can you do a roll call? Can you read the motion in full?
Sure. The motion is to have monthly monitoring reports starting in the fall once September has started. And I guess as part of that, that staff would report in August as to what a proposed monitoring, what would be included in the monitoring reports coming in the fall, so that trustees could have some input into what they would like to see within monitoring reports on a monthly basis.
Thank you.
Okay. Sorry about that. I am going to do roll call because I'm not, I heard some people were disconnected earlier. So, Trustee Archer, do you want to just indicate if you're voting for or against? Trustee Archer? I think we do not have Trustee Archer on the line. Do we have
Trustee
Bingham? Yes,
most definitely. Yes, yes.
Oh,
yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Wonderful. Trustee Bingham?
Yes, I'll be voting for it.
Thank you. Trustee Buck?
I am so sorry. I had a distraction on my end. I don't know what we're voting for right now.
No problem. it was a motion from earlier tonight where I mentioned to have a monitoring report starting in the fall, and that staff would come back to us in August to propose what would be in those monthly monitoring reports so that trustees could have a little bit of input into that. And then starting in the fall, we would be able to have a monthly monitoring report on the startup so that we could be accountable and transparent as a Board of Education.
Definitely, 100%, I agree.
Thank you. And then Trustee Danko, you're voting in favor?
Yes.
Trustee Deese?
Yeah, thanks. I'll support that.
Trustee Galindo is supporting it. Trustee Miller?
Yes, I agree.
Do we still have Trustee Mulholland on the line?
Yes.
Wonderful. And you're voting in favor, Trustee Mulholland, or against?
Yes.
Thank you. Trustee Pagan Miller? Do we have Trustee Pagan Miller? Hearing none. So, and Trustee Tutt?
In favor.
Wonderful. Okay, so that is unanimous for those in the room. And just one trustee is out. So with that, that is approved. Trustee Mulholland, I believe I missed you earlier. Did you have any questions for staff on the reopening report?
I answered no questions.
Thank you very much. So with that, that report, it was a monitoring report. So we do not need a motion. We have two items left on the agenda, folks. That is, can we have the report from the Committee of the Whole earlier this evening, Vice Chair Danko?
Yes, thank you. And through the Chair, it's my pleasure to present the report of the private session of the Committee of the Whole held earlier this evening that the tentative collective agreement between the Canadian Union of Public Employees, Local 4153, Custodial Maintenance and Cooks and Hamilton Wentworth District School Board for the term of September 1st, 2019 to August 31st, 2022 be approved and amended as per the School Board's Collective Bargaining Act.
Thank you very much. So we'll have that put forward by Vice Chair Danko, seconded by Trustee Miller. Do we have anyone voting against? Hearing none, that passes. Moving along to item 5, written notice of motion from Trustee Miller, seconded by Trustee Danko, regarding the math curriculum implementation. Trustee Miller, would you like to bring forward your notice of motion?
I will. Thank you very much. So whereas the Ministry of Education announced the new math curriculum on June 23rd, 2020, during the final week of the 2019-2020 school year and during the COVID-19 pandemic, and whereas a joint statement made by the association, so the AESO, the Elementary Teachers Federation of Ontario,
the Ontario English Catholic Teachers Association and the Ontario Secondary School Teachers Nice. Federation on June 26, 2020, trustees can see Appendix A, who noted that Ontario educators are committed to the success of our students and are open to changes to our curriculum that improve learning outcomes. However, the recent announcement by the Ontario government of a new math curriculum to be implemented this fall is unrealistic and counterproductive. The changes to the math curriculum are substantial and require significant time, collaboration, and new resources to be properly implemented. At a time when school boards and educators are preparing for schools to safely reopen and addressing students' learning gaps, it is short-sighted to require that resources be diverted from those efforts to try to comply with an unrealistic two-month timeline set by the government. And whereas, in addition to acknowledging the additional efforts required by school staff and administration to ensure transition for students back to school, HWDSB will need to direct significant administrative time and resources to ensure safe return to school, including but not limited to additional funding for remote or blended learning, mental health and well-being support, including staffing and resources for intensive social work and psychological support, additional staffing and resources to address gaps in literacy and numeracy, as well as build educator capacity in digital learning, transitional staffing resources, including additional special education funding, transitional staffing resources for children with special needs, many of whom have been without therapy or respite care for an extended period, additional student success teachers to aid students in the transition from elementary to secondary school, and addressing the substantial information technology gaps in the system, including replacing budgets that boards use to purchase IT and internet service during the course of this pandemic, provide ongoing support to continue supports for IT and internet. Be it resolved that the board support the chair in writing to the Ministry of Education to delay the implementation of the new math curriculum until COVID-19 related school operation changes are well established and resources can be directed to rolling out the new curriculum in a responsible way. Thank you. And I bring it forward.
Thank you, and that's seconded by Trustee Dango. I'll go through the roll call on this. We'll start with you, though, Maria, or Trustee Miller. Is there any further comments that you wanted to make? It was pretty self-explanatory, but the floor is yours.
Thank you. It is late, and I do want to hear from my colleagues on this issue. So I believe the motion is fairly self-explanatory, and I think everything that we have been talking about over the course of the summer, but especially tonight, really exemplifies staff both at the executive level and at the school level. Really, their focus should be where it needs to be right now, and that is the safety and the mental health and the physical safety, but also the return to bringing our kids back up to speed, to getting them reacquainted with our school structure. That's really deserves to be the forefront right now, and the idea of asking, our educators to basically learn a whole new curriculum in the middle of all of this seems very, very short-sighted to me, and actually quite irresponsible, both for the important material that is presented in the curriculum, but just the day-to-day, supports that we can offer at the moment. I don't think it's appropriate, and I don't think that anybody at the moment has the capacity to make the implementation a success, and therefore I think it's really important to wait until we have the reopening under some semblance of control. We know where we're at in terms of whether or not we're moving between various scenarios, or whether we've you know, finally reached a kind of more stable public health situation. So I think it's just it's important to kind of take a pause and give our educators and our staff the ability to focus on reopening as their number one concern right now. Thank you.
Thank you. So I'll start with Trustee Archer. Any comments, questions to the motion? Write a letter to the Minister of Education requesting to delay the implementation of the new math curriculum. Trustee Archer? I think Trustee Archer has left. Trustee Bingham?
I support the motion, but I don't have any questions or comments.
Wonderful. Thank you. And you're welcome to just blast through everyone, just make a quick comment, or just say if you have more, you're welcome to say more. Trustee Buck.